Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be talking about some new details on the Tesla Cybertruck from a newly released patent document. We've also got news on Giga Berlin and Texas, a voluntary Tesla recall, an update from NHTSA, and some possible new information on the Ford F-150 Lightning. Tesla stock up and down throughout the day today, but finishing down 0.9% to $625.22, kind of falling in the last half an hour of trading or so. Tesla kind of followed the NASDAQ down during that same period, though the NASDAQ did still manage to finish up 0.1%. I did want to quickly comment too on the final 10 minutes of trading yesterday, since we didn't really have much of an explanation for that yesterday. For some reason, this theory and article about Tesla being finally added to the S&P 500 ESG index was going around. Despite the fact that that bump up happened in the final 10 minutes on that closing cross trade, like the bump that we saw from the S&P 500 edition back in December, yesterday's movement had nothing to do with the S&P 500 ESG stuff. That happened like a month ago. We had already talked about it. The rebalance there was effective as of May 3rd, and as we talked about back then, the funds tracking that, while I do expect them to grow, are just extremely small right now. Again, we went through this, but my best guess was that those funds in total only needed to add about 45,000 shares, 0.01% of Tesla's float. So even if that had been yesterday, which it most definitely was not, I still don't even think that would have had that big of an impact. So not S&P 500 ESG stuff, probably was a different fund. There's been speculation that maybe it was a part of a rebalance by a major quant ETF. Something like that definitely makes more sense. So I got a few questions on that, just wanted to share those thoughts. Quick reminder, the market is closed on Monday in observance of Memorial Day, and I did say yesterday that we were going to talk a little bit about the China production number implications. We're going to save that to next week because we do have this Cybertruck news. So getting into that, yesterday, the U.S. Patent Office released patent application documents filed by Tesla in relation to the Cybertruck user interface and some other details. There's about 50 pages of text and a series of 20 drawings or so, and there's some interesting things buried in here. So again, these drawings are showing the user interface, and the first thing that jumps out if we look at any of these is the 610-mile range shown on the display on the right there, and that's the range that is displayed on the majority of these images. Of course, ever since the Cybertruck unveiling, Tesla has listed the top-end range for the Cybertruck as 500 miles plus, but 610, that would be quite the plus. Similarly, as we've been talking about with the F-150 Lightning unveiling, the payload for the Cybertruck has been listed at 14,000 pounds plus. One of the other UI images here shows the Cybertruck pulling a trailer. It lists the payload capacity as 20,000 pounds. Now, of course, we've got no way of knowing if these are going to actually end up being the specs, but it does make you wonder why they would show up in the patent application if these numbers weren't in the ballpark of something that Tesla was testing or targeting. Now, to be fair, these do to some extent look like placeholder values. We can see that on this payload screen. You can see 20,000 payload, and it still lists 610 miles of range. I think we can be confident that that is not realistic, and in a real scenario, Tesla would likely be adjusting the range displayed there based on the payload. So it doesn't negate these things being interesting, but it just shows that Tesla is probably not taking a screen grab from like a final interface with a final range number and payload, things like that. With those caveats in mind, that might provide some interesting insight on that trailer. So we have seen an image on Tesla's site of the Cybertruck hauling this sort of Cybertruck-esque looking trailer. From another one of these UI images, we can see what appears to be in the backup camera, possibly that trailer. And while this image does basically have the resolution of a potato, it does look like it might be a real image. So Tesla might actually have a prototype of that trailer. That in and of itself is interesting, but the rest of the screen is interesting because this appears to be a setup for autonomous docking of that trailer. So the screen here lists the trailer as detached, but there appears to be a button there for attach. And then Tesla does note in the text of the patent, quote, "In some embodiments, a user of the user interface may select the attach selectable object to initiate or otherwise cause attachment." End quote. I think autonomous docking is a feature that Elon had mentioned at the unveiling, I can't remember for sure, but either way, it is cool to see that user interface. The next detail here from the UI is a little navigation bar that lists today, then apps, very interesting, music, games, and store, and then search. So apps and store both in there, maybe hinting at some interesting things Tesla might be developing. Now, not getting too excited about apps because I think that could just house things like the theater today. Store might actually be a little bit more interesting. Maybe that houses upgrades, so things like acceleration boost or full self-driving, but I wouldn't think that'd be enough to warrant a whole navigation section there. So maybe Tesla does intend to build some sort of marketplace for apps or games or whatever else. The next screen here shows the UI for camper mode. This matches the photo that Tesla released at the unveiling. So they're showing a tent, tonneau cover, an attachable stove here. Tesla shows that integrating with the UI, so you can see the time elapsed, you can see the temperature, you can see that the stovetop is on. They even list steak here as presumably what is being cooked. And then in the actual text of the patent, Tesla says, in the example in figure 9, an example attachment is a stovetop. Via the interface, a user may control aspects of the stovetop. For example, the user may indicate initiation of a food item being cooked. As another example, the user may specify a temperature or measure associated with heat. Example, high heat, medium heat, and so on. The control information may be routed to the stovetop via wired or wireless communications. End quote. As for other accessories, there are a few mentions in the patent of drones. So in one section they say, quote, in some embodiments, a drone may be stored in the vehicle. The drone may fly from the vehicle and perform a mapping operation of surrounding terrain. For example, photogrammetry techniques may be used. This information may be provided to the vehicle and used to render the representation 504. In some embodiments, the vehicle may render the representation 504 using, at least in part, simultaneous localization and mapping techniques, end quote. So 504 is marked in one of the images here. It looks like the Cybertruck off-roading, and 504 pointing to some sort of terrain map of that area. As for simultaneous localization and mapping, SLAM technique they refer to there, pretty intuitive given the name, but that refers to a mobile robot, in this case a drone, constructing a map of an unknown environment and then simultaneously computing its location using that map. So I have no idea how valuable that would be to people that do off-roading, but if that niche is big enough, then it seems like it could be a pretty cool feature. But of course, this is just a patent application, so as with everything here, none of this is guaranteed to actually make it to production. All right, next up, we've got a couple of updates on Giga Berlin and Texas. First on Berlin, Tesla has received another approval today to start building chimneys at Giga Berlin. This was posted by the Ministry of Agriculture there. But I think more importantly, this also grants, quote, the extension of working hours for construction work in the paint shop, foundry, press shop, body shell construction, and final assembly, in some cases to 24-hour operation. This decision was made on the basis of the continued positive approval prognosis, end quote. So always tough to understand the layers of permitting and approval here, but that definitely sounds like good news. As for Giga Texas, yesterday Joe Tegmeyer on Twitter shared some photos of the interior of Giga Texas. Kind of reminds you of what you might see in the quarterly shareholder letter. Certainly showing a lot of progress, but definitely some ways to go still, at least in this area. Next here, we've got an update on NHTSA's safety ratings. Remember, we talked yesterday about the adjustment to some of the advanced technology ratings for the Model 3 and the Model Y, now with the radar removal shifting over to Tesla Vision. Elon Musk shared with Electrek a little bit of an update here clarifying the situation. He said, quote, just confirmed with the Autopilot team that these features are active in all cars now, including Vision only. NHTSA automatically removes the checkmark for any cars with new hardware until they retest, which is happening next week, but the functionality is actually there. End quote. He added that it'll have all the safety features that prior Vision Plus radar had, and then some, saying what he has said before, that removing radar is actually improving the signal-to-noise equation. Also reiterating, as he had said on Twitter previously, that the software should be fully rolled out to all new vehicles within 2 weeks. Next here, we've got a voluntary recall from Tesla. I think this was shared out by Jim Chanos on Twitter. I doubt he was first with that, but I saw some articles citing him as the source. Anyway, he shared a screenshot of a Tesla email saying that Tesla has decided to proactively recall certain Model 3 and Model Y vehicles to inspect brake caliper bolts. This recall applies to certain Model 3 vehicles built between December 2018 and March 2021, and certain Model Y vehicles built between January 2020 and January 2021, end quote. So, as we talk about when recalls happen, no big deal. Recalls happen for all automakers. Tesla, again, as they say here, being proactive, so this is a voluntary recall. Not sure how many vehicles are affected for what it's worth. I didn't receive an email. My Model 3 falls in that range. But sounds like something that should be a quick fix. I would imagine mobile service can probably take care of it. Tesla does in the email say that mobile service could complete the inspection for your convenience. So I don't know if they can do the full fix, but certainly nice to at least have that option for the inspection. All right, last up today, we're starting with trucks, ending with trucks. So the Ford F-150 Lightning MKBHD Marquez Brownlee just released his first impressions video of the Lightning. So interestingly here, he said that Ford told him that the EPA estimates that they had, 230 miles and 300 miles, were with 1,000 pounds of cargo. So Marquez said that Ford told him that they wanted their customers to be able to transition over to the EV without having to worry about range, without having to do too many calculations based on the payload. Then he also showed the display at 80% state of charge, and it was reading 367 miles of range with no payload. So I've seen a lot of people in Tesla community understandably write this off today. I'm not going to be so quick to do that. I'm certainly not going to take it as fact because it doesn't really make any sense that Ford would estimate their range with 1,000 pounds cargo and at no point mention that. If you want to list your range like that, that's fine, but you should probably at least say that at some point during the product unveiling so people understand. Because if you don't say that, well, they're just going to do all those things that you were worried about them doing anyway, like saying the range is going to be too low. So don't get me wrong, really good reasons to be skeptical. And as far as the 80% range, obviously that alone doesn't mean a lot without more context. Maybe the vehicle had been driven really conservatively, hence showing a high range. On the other hand, I do think it's a little bit of a stretch to believe that Ford would just completely make this up and tell Marquez that if there weren't some sort of basis. So yeah, I mean, yeah, they could just be lying to him and hoping he's going to mislead people. That number will get out there, people's expectations will get up, and then the reality won't matter. But that's kind of what you have to believe if you're writing this off. And personally, I wouldn't be comfortable holding that view with any sort of confidence at this point in time. So as I said, we'll just have to wait and see. But if that truly is the range with 1,000 pounds of cargo, I think bad move by Ford to not get credit for that right from the start. You could argue that maybe they're just trying to make the EV look less compelling so that fewer people actually want it, but I think there are probably easier ways that they could have done that, like just putting a smaller battery in there that would be less costly. So I don't think that theory makes much sense. I've also seen people point out that, yes, on Ford's website, they do say that the range is an EPA targeted range and that final EPA estimated ratings aren't going to be available until 2022. It is important to watch for things like that. We've seen other automakers in the past do some kind of misleading things in regards to future projections. But it is worth noting here for Ford, for the Mustang Mach-E, before they had the final EPA test results, they also had a similar projection listed there, and those ranges all basically hit right on, so I'm not worried about that part of it from Ford. Automakers are good at modeling these. They know what it's going to come out at. So I don't think the fact that these are not official EPA numbers yet has much bearing on this part of the conversation. So it might be a while before we get some resolution on this. Hopefully Ford will comment one way or the other, or we'll have to keep an eye out for any of these other first impression type of videos, and maybe one of those can offer some additional insight as well. That is where we'll leave it for today, though. Remember, the market is closed on Monday, so barring anything crazy happening, I probably won't have an episode. So I hope everyone has an awesome long weekend. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And I'll see you next week, probably on Tuesday, June 1st, for the next episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.